Ransomware goes Super Saiyan. The Miami Heat get a new 3-year agreement. And Microsoft gives OneNote a wingman. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this 2-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. Visit mspgeekcon.com for more information.
Good morning and welcome to the April 7th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Good, brother. How are you doing today?
Besides my ridiculous number of bloopers just getting started.
Oh, the launch pad, just watching the plane, unable to get off the pad. It's just like, come on, you're almost that. Nope.
You know, nope. I am perfectly happy to admit that this show doesn't happen because of you and me. It happens because of a group of ridiculously skilled, experienced, and passionate individuals. One of our content researchers says, who normally writes my scripts, I totally forgot she was off this week for Easter. So I had to write my own scripts at the absolute last minute, which I hate doing because I'm a diva. It completely threw me off. And I have renewed respect for Cez and everybody else that does the hard work so you and I can look good.
ChatGPT, there are sites out there that they do a lot of work for you.
I may admit that ChatGPT may or may not have written one of my notables. I'll leave it to the audience. If you can figure out which one it is in the chat, in the comments on Discord or in the comments below, I'd love to hear it.
Got a 50-50 chance, people. 50-50. Two notables.
Yeah. So speaking of not nice, there's this website, Tony. It was brought to me. I forgot which community. I think it was MSP Geek this week. Brought it up to me. WTF does this company do.vercel.app. Well, of course, the link will be in the show notes. It does a couple things. It absolutely gives you a nice little AI-driven synopsis of what a website can do. Yay. But some of the other fun stuff, which I love, it will roast your website. I think it'd be great to roast, you know, mspmedia.tv and see what it says. And what do we got here? We have... Welcome to MSP Media Network, where we provide you with collections of episodes that will put you straight to sleep. Congratulations on creating content that's more boring than watching paint dry. Your website is a perfect example of how to make people regret clicking on a link. It hurts, but it's funny as hell.
Oh my gosh. Oh, this is beautiful.
Awesome.
This is it's my favorite,
one of the best implementations site of AI I've seen, man.
Absolutely. One of my favorite. It's now my own, on my homepage. Before it was like, hey, polite mail. So I can take an email and then put it in polite mail, which by the way, totally got from you now, which I totally got from you again, is this new, what the hell does this website do? And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to roast it. Oh, Apple computers. Why are you so mean to Apple? Why are you so mean? That beautiful website.
I love it that I was your source of information for polite post, helping you write PC, you know, statements out of like sheer frustration and write it nice and businesslike. And then we go to this that roasts your website. I can't think of a better way to kick off getting into the news.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, before we really get into news, though, I just want to point out it also tells you a summary of the website as well, a positive summary. But if you really just want to get kicked in the face, then
yeah, whatever. Put it roast your website. That's the important part.
Okay, let's jump into the news. Coming out, my first story, straight from the top, from bleepingcomputers.com. According to a recent report from Bleeping Computer, a new ransomware strain called Rorschach has been discovered that is currently the fastest encryptor we've seen so far. The malware has been attributed to the Wizard Spider cybercrime group, which is also responsible for the infamous TrickBot malware. Rorschach, is said to use a unique encryption method that can encrypt files up to 2.6 times faster than other ransomware strains, making it particularly dangerous. The malware is distributed via phishing email and uses a variety of techniques to evade detection, including the use of process hollowing, a technique that allows the malware to hide inside malicious activities by running inside a legitimate process. Once inside, Rorschach encrypts files on the infected machine and adds a ransom extension to the encrypted files. It then drops a ransom note demanding payment in Bitcoin in exchange for the decryption keys. Researchers have stated that there's currently no known way to decrypt files encrypted with Rorschach without paying the ransom. However, they advise against paying the ransom as there's no guarantee that the attackers will provide a working decryption key. Ray, I have so many questions here. We've never talked about ransomware. We've never talked about security issues. We've never talked about phishing scams, exploiting a weakness in the organization, which literally can collapse the entire organization. And by that, I mean, we talk about it all the time. And now we have something that does not have a cure. Give me your thoughts.
At least it's the first time we talk about it. And we know it can only get better from here, right? Like, there's no way we're going to report on ransomware being thinner, lighter, faster, like a freaking Apple announcement. I mean, come on. Like, I understand technology advances not only for the good guys, but for the bad guys too. But at the same time, come on, just give us a break. Leave the original stuff. Keep going with the original stuff for which we may or may not have some decryptors. There's no reason to be fast. There's been plenty of friends that I've talked to that have like caught where like the first 50 files, because it would do it in groups, were encrypted, but the rest were not. And like, you know, gave them time to act. I don't appreciate the efficacy and efficiency of these ransomware actors. I'm just saying now on behalf of the MSP community.
I want to point out that there are phone numbers, specifically FBI related phone numbers, for ransomware victims. We've posted a number of those stories from the beginning. What episode number is this? I should probably ask that. I mean, that was
4,550.
I would say that's like episode number 20 somewhere in there. But maybe we should start creating a repository link for those that are affected by this, because there's so many people that listen to the show. And by the way, the fans out there cannot appreciate you enough. If you can find links that can assist others in the event of a new ransomware strain that comes out, that helps. That's for the betterment of everyone. That helps everyone. This is terrifying to me. And I guess the question really comes down to, Ray, if Rorschach, which has the ability to change shapes and cause other, you know, fun things that trigger, ironically, other memories. I love the character Rorschach in Watchmen, by the way, one of my favorite movies. I'm wondering if the evolution of ransomware is going to be a more hidden style, less phishing scams, more hidden so much that, hey, we're going to have to just close port 80 in entirety. Doing payload scans through 443. I'm wondering if ransomware is going to be instantaneous, because there was a period during the encryption process where CPU activity spikes drastically and you start noticing individual entities going offline, and then you can shut down the system to isolate the infected areas. But I'm wondering if the speed of them is going to be an instantaneous process that occurs from something that almost can't be stopped with today's mechanisms. What are your thoughts on that?
The positive side of this is detection methods will get better they will get faster, just like the malicious software. You know, they're going to get better and faster. It's just the circle of life. And while I don't have, you know, a little lion to hold over the ledge and say, you know, look, father, it's a lion, I do see that, you know, looking at vendors like Huntress, who's, you know, have come on many times to give us, you know, their perspective and experiences on stuff, looking at stuff, even with the 3CX story we were doing, I'll do one of these, I haven't done that in a while, for Phil to point out, and our special report, but I will say that the community coming together during these events, the security researchers working together with each other, that makes a big deal. That gets information out faster. unfortunately, sometimes it gets disinformation out faster. But I think the security vendors working with the software vendors, working with the affected community to get that data faster and faster leads to a better prepared MSP and a more secured client. And while the 3CX breach, it sucked, it is what it is. But at the same time, there's always a silver lining. Silver lining to me was the number of vendors that came together to help each other. You know, and I'll give kudos to Sophos, Sonic, Sophos, you know, Huntress, S1, CrowdStrike, Total, tons of them came together. So, you know, my hat's off to you if I was wearing a hat. But the MSPs, let us know what you think. Are you happy with the outcome of the 3CX breach? Are you, you know, when it comes to this stuff, does it make you more scared? Does it make you less scared? Let us know in the comments or go to that Discord server we have. Discord, and there's a QR code somewhere here, somewhere. I'll let Phil put it up later in post. And I'm told this is episode 107.
Wow. So, okay. So, one question that I also have for everyone, which is an interesting possible foretelling for the next story, Rorschach. What an amazing name. I love that name. For a virus. Can you imagine being able to name anything you want for any reason over maybe yourself?
For the low, low price of $117 million, you can also go ahead and name your own stadium. And that's exactly what just happened. So on Tuesday, April 4th, and this is a story, I apologize. This is a story written by Tim Reynolds on AP News. The Heat Arena, formerly FTX, formerly AAA, has a new name, the Kaseya Center. On Tuesday, April 4th, Miami-Dade County Commissioners unanimously voted to give naming rights of the FTX Arena, formerly known as American Airlines Arena, or AAA, to Kaseya. The new name, which takes effect immediately, will be the Kaseya Center. The new name came at a cost of $117.37 million paid over a period of 17 years. The majority will go to Miami-Dade County, but the Miami Heat will also receive $2 million a year for a total of $34 million. The agreement comes 5 months after the Miami Heat and Miami-Dade County agreed to remove the FTX name from the arena following FTX's collapse and bankruptcy filing. As with all things Kaseya, Redditors took to RMSP to voice their opinions. Datto founder Austin McCord, under the username UMCWigan, posted the news story, a PDF of the prices paid, and of course, a meme to go along with it. Austin continued to comment on his own post with the following. You want to do that stuff? Great. But don't throw out your top talent, curtail travel, end free lunch Friday, and everything else that keeps top MSP-focused folks at the company. The money could have gone so much further to help MSPs and the customers they serve. Having a basketball stadium named Kaseya is not going to help you sign up a single new MSP. When Datto chose its stock ticker, we chose MSP for a reason, because MSPs are what made us successful and allowed us to build the business as we did. We didn't want a single employee to forget that. We wanted our customers to know how much we cared about them and wanted to show that. He closed his statement with, the stadium name is the same hubris as FTX or Crypto.com stadium. Ugh. Again, his words. Tony, what do you see here? I mean, Austin McCord's been extremely vocal following the Kaseya acquisition, which he was a part of agreeing to, right? He was on that board. So let's put it out there. But he's also been very critical of Kaseya. Let's start with the story first, the renaming rights. Do you think it matters to MSPs at all?
Absolutely not. Not even a little bit. I've had quite a few MSPs reach out to me and ask my opinion of this. And first thing I say is, what's basketball? That's the first thing. I'm not a fan of basketball.
Sports ball.
It's whatever. Is that where they get the home runs, or is that where, I don't understand. Or is that where the ball goes into the puck goes into the net? It could not mean anything less to me. But what would be challenged to be more effective is what can you find that's more effective than what Austin said? That was more than poetic. That was beautiful. There's a difference between being You know, people, a lot of people mistake activity for productivity. Austin was a very active individual and he had a lot of foresight and he had a vision and it was executed correctly. And congratulations for him, to him on making a lot of money. But at the end of the day, he influenced the industry as a whole for the betterment, as a whole, for everyone to back up their data, to process their data appropriately. And naming his company's NASDAQ listing, MSP. Okay. Now there's not a lot of room for argument there. Then when you back that up, exactly what was just said with all the benefits being cut. And, you know, let's be blunt. You know, you've got Rob Ray that left for a variety of reasons. And I know Rob Ray personally, I consider him a friend. He left for a reason. And is what we're seeing now kind of indicative of where things are going? Is that an ego-driven decision? Are there more ego-driven decisions in the future? Is this the way Kaseya is going? Or frankly, is it the way it's always been going and we're just starting to see it? Ray, talk to me.
So, you know, this reminds me of, and I want to be fair, right? Like, yes, I have opinions. Yes, this is editorial time, but I want to be fair. I like to see both sides of it, but this kind of hits close to home. So, you know, and a lot of my close friends know, I used to work for the Miami Police Department. The year I exited, we had just finished adding funding from the city of Miami to the Marlins Stadium. And we fired over 300 officers on the same day. Literally, both announcements happened on the same day. So, you know, I look at the people that were hurt by that. While the city's putting money on one thing, they're cutting back funds on something else. And yes, I understand a lot of these plans were probably, well, they can't be more than 5 months in the making, let's be honest. But it does take away your yearly budget or your annual or whatever budgets away from other stuff. And if I have to choose between my name on a building and being able to take care of my people in a way that they were previously used to.
I'm taking the name. I'm putting my name on the building.
Oh, absolutely. As long as it has LED lights, absolutely.
Exactly. Look at that. That's me.
You know, and I did read Fred Vakola's statement talking about how having this put out will increase the MSP's support in front of the wider audience, the clientele they're trying to attract, giving them additional credence, I guess. I don't buy it, but I want to hear from the MSPs. Let us know in the Discord. Let us know if you're sad face. Let us know if you're happy face. Let us know if you're ready to sign that 3-year agreement. But Tony, who am I? Maverick? You're Goose? Are you Goose? I'm Maverick. Your next story explains it, right?
And in my next story from techcommunity.microsoft.com, Microsoft has recently announced a new feature called Copilot for its note-taking app, OneNote. Copilot is an AI-powered digital assistant that aims to make note-taking easier and more efficient. The new feature is available to the users of OneNote for Windows. With Copilot, users can type natural language queries such as create a list of action items or add a reminder for tomorrow, and the assistant will generate the necessary content in the note automatically. Copilot also offers suggestions for things like meeting notes, task lists, and to-do lists, making it easier for users to keep track of their work. In addition to assisting with note-taking, Copilot also provides users with contextually relevant information. For example, if a user is taking notes about a specific topic, Copilot will offer suggestions for related content, such as websites or articles that might make a little bit more use. Microsoft has stated that Copilot is powered by a machine learning algorithm and will improve over time as it learns from user interactions. The company also plans to expand Copilot's capability to include support for languages and platforms in the future. Ray, pretty soon there's like AI and AI, and sometimes I want to make hey, take out the wrinkles and some of the grays, but is this eventually just going to be a ChatGPT logo over my face? Like it's going to be nothing here. I'm just an empty shell of what I was.
I can't tell if it's really you or if it's the AI. I really can't. No.
Everything is AI. Everything. This, like 6 months ago, none of this was around. 6 months ago, we were still excited about autocomplete when you're typing in your words or autocorrect.
Right? Max Headroom wasn't that long ago. No. And then I purposely try to avoid AI stories because of AI Roundup. And we have a weekly show that covers a lot of this stuff. And we have the AI segment on Fridays. And even with that, it's a ridiculous number of stories that we have to cover because this is important. These are things that MSPs are going to use. I'm an avid OneNote user. I love this. I'm curious as to, and on the MSP side, Hudu just added AI to help you write your KBs or whatever. They added OpenAI. Hudu, the IT Glue competitor.
I think it
Hudu. Yeah, IT Hudu documentation Gurus. System.
That was a band from the 80s. Hudu Gurus. Gosh, that was horrible.
But sorry. But you know, everything has AI. Don't worry. There's going to be a now that's what I call AI 2023 edition. Now, that's how old we are. For if you're a millennial, like, what are you talking about? These were these shiny discs we used to get music on, and they would have a CD come out every 6 months that was the pop music of the whatever. Anyway, hit us up on Discord. We'll discuss it on the Discord. But back to your story, though. AI is good. I do think life has to have a balance, right? Everything is balance. And if people are focusing so much on AI right now, which obviously it's exciting, what are we not paying attention to? What are we not developing and improving and iterating on? Because there was plenty of opportunity even before AI came to be. So I don't know. I look at what could be, and I'm a little cautious when it comes to that. You get what I'm saying?
I cannot get over the fact that 6 months ago, there was none of this. There was nothing. I mean, it was what happened 6 months ago. Now everything is ChatGPT. You're literally having ChatGPT write apps to be plugins for apps, and the apps themselves with potential plugins, all of which written by ChatGPT, to do reviews on sites that talk about ChatGPT and AI. What, like, there is a circular reference happening here, and my brain is, I'm struggling with this because I don't understand where this is going to end. You've got a 3 to 5 year period, a 100% chance that if you are an auditor or a tax accountant or something, your job is going to be mostly replaced in the next 3 to 5 years with current AI trends. Think about that.
If you're a knowledge worker, right? Like, this is not going to replace the pizza delivery person. Oh wait, there are drones for that. It's not going to replace the self-driving. Oh wait, there are robots for that. You remember the movie WALL-E?
Oh my goodness.
Speaking of the buildup, I'll tease a little bit. Our newest show, AI Roundup, next week, Phil Buck is going to talk about the buildup of AI. So be sure to check it out. In the last episode, he was roasted by AI. So pretty damn amazing. You know what also has AI? Some of our notables. So let's get into them. In my first notable mention, Lifecycle Insights acquired by ScalePad. Co-founder Alex Farling of Lifecycle Insights posted on Thursday an open letter in various communities. The letter announces not only the acquisition, but also understanding that some may find it confusing. After all, ScalePad and Lifecycle Insights were direct competitors. At one point, ScalePad even released their own product called Lifecycle Manager. However, Alex goes on to note that the VCIO management area was previously sparse with very few options a couple of years ago. It's now teaming with SaaS companies ready to help MSPs. While LCI has always maintained a stellar standing per MSPs, Alex realized that there was a limit to what a team of 9 could accomplish. He believes reaching his BHAGs, big, hairy, audacious goals, would benefit from the resources of a larger company with more resources. The link to the full letter can be found below in our show notes. Alex, Marnie, you have my congratulations. In my second notable mention, 10-year-old Windows bug with opt-in fix exploited in 3CX attack, written by Lawrence Abrams on Bleeping Computer. A 10-year-old Windows bug has been exploited in an attack targeting 3CX, a popular business phone system, Microsoft has released an opt-in fix for the vulnerability, which allows attackers to use NTLM relay attack to access and control systems remotely. The bug had been known for a decade, but the company hasn't pushed a mandatory update to address it. Citing concerns about compatibility issues. The recent attack on 3CX has raised urgency for organizations to apply the fix to protect their systems from potential breaches.
And in my first notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, Google has announced that it will require all Android apps to allow users to delete their account and associated data from the app itself, starting October 15th, 2023. The change is part of Google's ongoing efforts to increase transparency and give users greater control of their personal data. The new policy applies to all new apps and app updates submitted to the Google Play Store. Developers will also need to provide a clear and detailed privacy policy that explains how user data will be collected, used, and shared, and obtain explicit user consent before collecting sensitive data such as health or financial information. And my next notable mention from 9to5Mac.com. According to a report by 9to5Mac, Apple has reportedly started shutting down some of its services for older devices that are no longer supported by the company. The affected services include iCloud, the App Store, and email services. Devices that are affected by the shutdown include iPhones, iPads, and iPods that are running older versions of Apple's operating systems. Specifically, the devices running iOS 9 or earlier, OS X 10.10 or earlier, or Watch OS 2 or earlier are impacted. Apple has not provided an official statement on the matter, but the move is likely part of the company's ongoing efforts to streamline its services and focus on newer devices.
Happy Friday, y'all. I'm Phil Buck with your AI roundup for the week, and it looks like more legal woes are on the way for generative AIs. We've heard about the pending case from Getty Images against Stability AI. Now it looks like OpenAI could have their own day in court soon. From ArsTechnica.com by Ashley Bellinger, OpenAI threatened with landmark defamation lawsuit over ChatGPT false claims. Australian Mayor Brian Hood is taking a stand against OpenAI, threatening to sue the tech giant over their ChatGPT tool, which has been spreading false claims about Hood's involvement in bribery scandals. Hood has given OpenAI a 28-day deadline to fix the issue. Recent tests indicate that the AI may already be providing accurate information about Hood's clean record. Ars Technica claims that they were unable to replicate the error, but an update made to the article last night states that, quote, responses to text prompts generated by ChatGPT 3.5 and 4 vary, with defamatory comments still currently being generated in ChatGPT 3.5, end quote. Has OpenAI silently fixed the problem? Or is this just a fluke? It's yet to be seen, but if OpenAI doesn't fully address Hood's concerns, we will be in for a groundbreaking legal showdown. This captivating case would put defamation laws to the test against the ever-evolving world of AI-generated content. The outcome could set a precedent for future cases involving AI's role in spreading misinformation. And this is yet another story we should really keep an eye on, because this might be a turning point in the relationship between AI, the law, and our digital landscape. The stakes are high, and the consequences could shape the future of AI ethics and responsibility. And that's our AI roundup for today, but before I go, I'd like to let you in on a little something special coming next week. On Wednesday, April 12th at 1 p.m. Eastern, I'll be hosting a new live episode of Technical Deficit, all about getting started with Stable Diffusion. It's something that I'm really passionate about, but it's also a ton of fun, so be sure to mark your calendars and tune in live with me. Now back to Ray and Tony in the MSPD studio.
In our feedback from the YouTubes, Harry Torres says, $20 million. Ha ha ha, LOL. Absolutely. We need that evil kitty. And Matt Solomon says, thank you for the channel program shout out. And of course, Ray for moderating, talking about the Channel Engage panel that I hosted with Jason Slagle and Tom Lawrence a few weeks ago on OpenAI.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. On April 10th at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Planning for Headlines, How to Prepare for Sudden Vulnerability Announcements. On April 11th through the 14th, an in-person event, TMT Boot Camp in Nashville, Tennessee. And on April 12th at 12 p.m. Eastern, Build It Better MSP Discussion Group presented by Everything MSP. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have later today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 38 to 38, Episode 11 with Louis Lugo. On April 12th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, AI Roundup Episode 6. And on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, the MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's episode? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it 3 times, 5 times, 7 times. As long as it's odd, we're good. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit the subscribe button on the YouTubes or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833 MSP Network. Tony, you know what job I'm never going to replace? Yours. I will never accept AI in lieu of the best co-pilot wingman ever in the news industry, okay?
So because eyebrows on fleek, in the yellow on audio, VPN is mostly turned off, and
usually-ish,
and we can poke fun at each other without being so systematically precise to give you like emotional damage that goes on and on. No, ours is just temporary.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen AI in the yellow. I've never seen ChatGPT's eyes on fleek. I'm a little more terrified that, you know, 6 months ago, ChatGPT had zero access to the public current internet, and now I can just put in a story URL. I used to have to copy the whole story in there to give a synopsis. Now I give a story URL, and it's like, I got you. It's like, give me 30 seconds of script, and it's like, I got you. And yeah, now the robot overlords are taking over. But it's okay, because wow. I have toys.
We are teaching. I truly, truly believe from the bottom of my heart that we are actually exposing things in a brief package that is palatable to our audience. There's some humor behind it. It's built on a spine of intellectual property value and experience from both of us. And the feedback that we receive, you know, privately on the back end is amazing. The public feedback we receive is awesome. But I think what we're teaching people, frankly, is that what their thoughts are, their intuition, their instincts, they're in line with, frankly, a lot of others out there. And I'm really, really curious as we evolve the stories and the processes, how this particular broadcast is going to evolve. I think there's a lot ahead of us, for us.
As long as we don't get comments from the AI, I think we're okay.
Well, okay, AI, I'm going to sick my replies, my AI, on your AI.
And with that, I think we want to say thank you, everybody. We appreciate you spending time with us. Take care of yourselves and each other.
Take care, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Ransomware goes Super Saiyan. Miami Heat, not yet.
In my next story from techcommunity.microsoft.com, Microsoft has recently announced a new feature called Copilot for its note-taking app. By the way, I can hear someone breathing. Sorry.
That might be me. I'll mute myself.
Oh, I'll take your time. I'm like, are you going to say something? Okay. I don't know if you're going to like, okay, one more time. And my next story from telecommunity. Okay.
Use the force, Tony.
I can't. I was, it's all had the plane. Wait, okay, I got this one.